much, and I thank God for His moving power tonight. We're going to go straight to the Word of God tonight and
see what the Lord needs us.
I thank God for His goodness and His mercy always. We kept out of mercy and grace of God. I got you mind prayer tonight. Because, please. Let's look in tonight. There's a scripture in Revelation. And when you have an opportunity, you need to read. It's in Revelation, I think, 20:6. And it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, in whom the second death hath no power, but we shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And it speaks to the point of not only being with God, not only and God being with us, because there's a promise, and there are promises. Yes. And the promises of eternal life. And then there are many, many promises that God gives us. And it is one of eternal life, but it's not like people like to make it seem like. There's so many people who say, well, you know, when you talk about the Lord, you're going to tell me about heaven, but I need help right now. And I want you to know that God is a very present help in right now. The Lord will work things out and cause things to be to your advantage, because there's something that God does. He takes care of us. And I want us to go to 2 Peter tonight. If you have a Bible, go to 2 Peter with us tonight. And if not, I'll probably have Minister Smith put it up on share screen. We can do that too. But in 2 Peter tonight, he says something, and I want us to look at it. And I'm going to probably read in King James Version, and then I'm going to probably also do it in probably a New Living Translation or something like that. It's easier to read. 2 Peter, the very first chapter. And I won't be long tonight, but I want us to look at having, and I guess if I was to say something tonight, I want you to know that in God there's a great advantage. I want everybody here to know tonight, don't let anybody ever say to you ever again, it's good to, you know, heaven is good, but I need something from God right now. You're getting something from God right now. You're living. You know, and people like to say a lot of things concerning him, like, you know, just, you know, things that really aren't necessarily true, that aren't true at all. I want everybody to know that it isn't eternal life is the ultimate thing you need from God, because you're going to live so long because eternity is forever.
It's forever, yeah.
But it isn't like you've got a struggle. You know, sometimes it seems like, if I can use the analogy, let me see, I have Elder Latham out there, Sister Nancy. Sometimes people like to portray God like we're salmon swimming upstream.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's, if you can make it all the way upstream, you know, you'll get to spawn. But you're on your own to make it from the ocean all the way upstream to where you were born at. And you got to make it through the rough waters, and you got to jump over the waterfalls. Does everybody understand what I'm using this analogy? Everybody familiar with how salmon spawn and how they... Right, we make, you know, some people like to make it seem like in God, like going to heaven is like going upstream to spawn, and the salmon are all on their own, you know, they got to jump up the falls, and they got to make it through the bears and everything else that hunts them, and through people, because we eat a whole lot of salmon, and they got to make it through all that, and then if they make it all the way up there all by themselves, they get a chance to spawn. Mm-hmm. That's not what Christ is like.
Right.
It isn't like, you know, we're on our way to heaven and the Lord saves us and then he just drops off and, you know, like we're some wild animal that you know, that when the babies hatch, they are on their own from the day they're born. From the day that you're born again, you have tremendous help. First of all, you had great help just getting to the point of being born again.
Yes.
Because God was keeping you by his grace and by his mercy, even when we were sinners. And that's another thing to consider, that even when we were sinners, the Bible says, in due time, Christ died for us. Even when we were in sin, God is still the one who's maintaining our lives and keeping us.
Yes.
And so I want to look tonight in 2 Peter, but I would be remiss if I said that, I'm going to come right back to Peter, but I also need you to read what it says in Romans. In Romans chapter 5, and this is the only one I'm going to read out of that, and then I'm coming right back. He says, but when we were yet without strength, in Romans 5 and 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, when we were not trying to find the Lord, when we were, of course, with us, when we talk about it, it would not so much be you and I one-on-one, it would be mankind, because we weren't born during the time that Christ was here. But Christ is the work of Calvary, that Christ died on the cross of Calvary and was resurrected, even though it was 2,000 years ago. Even when I was without sin, that took place so that I could be saved.
Yes.
And if I had come before that, it took place so that they could be saved. And he says, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's something that's different too, because he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the point being that Christ's death and burial and marriage and his resurrection is made available to sinners. You know, it isn't like you need to come and clean yourself up and get yourself right and then come to God and then God will receive you. It's not like that. Otherwise, you'd never come. You need to come to God, and then God works what God works, and God sets you free, and God does the things that God does. And God changes your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, if God did everything he did for us when we were sinners, and I don't know about you, but, you know, there were many times when I was a sinner where, you know, I could have died and went on to hell, and, you know, but God sustained me and God kept me. Many of us, even we might not have lived a wild, rowdy life. I didn't live the super rowdy life. I don't want anybody to think that I was the kind of sinner that just killed, pillaged. I didn't do all that. But sin is sin. When I was in sin, the Lord still sustained me. Sustained everyone here. How did he sustain me? You breathe. Your heart still beats, and you do whatever you want to do, and God, who sustains all life, still keeps you. So then, when we look at back in 2 Peter, I want to look in verse number 2.
1 and 2.
2 Peter 1 and 2. 2 Peter 1 and 2.
Yes.
And I'm going to read in actually New Living Testament. And he says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Peter's opening to him, and it's the same thing I'm saying tonight. I pray that you have much more grace. I pray that the Lord will sustain you even more and lead and guide you even more, and that you'll have much more in God. He says, which one do you have up? King James?
No.
Okay, you have it. Okay. By his divine power, or as it said in King James, according as his divine power. And I kind of like according as his divine power, just as much as I like by his divine power, but it means the same thing. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life, and we have received all this by coming to him, to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now I want to read the King James Version because I kind of like that one better. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. According as his divine power. And this is the power which he wrought when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the power that God has when he created everything in the very beginning. This is the power that God has that heals you. It's the power that delivers. It's the power that brings you out. When you pray a prayer to God, regardless of the reason why you pray, when you pray a prayer to God, if you're expecting an answer, you're praying to him because he has power.
Yes.
And you're asking him to help you because he has power. You're here on earth in whatever city you're in and whatever state you're in, whatever street you live on, and whatever you're going through or however things are happening, you're praying to someone who has the power to answer your prayer, whatever it may be. It may be a simple prayer of you're praying for the Lord to, you know, you might be a student, you're praying that the Lord will help bring things back to your memory so you can get a good grade. Or you might be praying a prayer because you just found out that you have cancer in your body. You need the Lord to see you through.
Yes.
Whether he heals you by miraculous power and the cancer just goes away, or whether he heals you because as you go through the series of medical things, you get to the right doctor. And there's something else I want the saints to always understand. For all of us who are blessed enough to be able to go to doctors and hospitals and to have medical care, especially when we're going through, not everybody has that.
Right, that's right.
And you ought to thank God. You should be so thankful to God if you were sick in any sort of way or had any sort of malady. And if God did not give you a miracle, but you went to the hospital and they gave you the right medication, or they put you on a medication if it's a condition that God hasn't healed yet, but you were able to get some help. I remember Paul has gone through two rounds of cancer, and I remember the second time around, not only did she have the cancer, but she had complications on two different occasions. She had complications with the stitching they did. That was a problem, caused all hurt because she was so low on white blood cells. And when she had the complications with the stitching and the surgery and the closure, it got infected and did all those kind of things. And her white blood cell count went down. And then they had to, it wasn't just a matter of just building that up and doing that. They had to redo the surgery. And then there was something else. Why did you have to go to the dental office? What was that all about?
That's because I had an abscess on my tooth, and they wanted me to have it taken out.
Yeah,
it had, the tooth was still there, and they said, no, you need to get that taken out before we do the chemo.
Right. Yeah, because it was
taken out there, but it still had some abscess in there.
Yeah, she had an abscess on her tooth, and they couldn't do the surgery. They were concerned because, you know, when they would start the chemo, the white cells are going to, you know, go down. The immune system is going to go down, and it would be bad and everything. Anyway, what I'm saying is it wasn't just a matter of having cancer and having to have the chemo and all the doctors and the oncologists and all those things looking at her. She had complications in the middle of that with the surgery and everything else and the reconstruction and all those things. And one day I was sitting there, and the Spirit said to me, he says, now you see, they're doing all these procedures, and it costs thousands of dollars just to lay up in a hospital bed, and they're just coming in every few hours and taking your blood pressure. And he says, aren't you glad that you're able to have that procedure done? And I thought about it, how God knows all things. And I said, you know, when I was 19 and I came into the military, you know, healthcare wasn't even on my mind. I was just trying to get away from home, get a job, do whatever. It wasn't thinking about the future or whatever. But here it is, God, and the way God knows how things goes. In these days, the Lord has provided for us so that we were able to go and get health care and do all those things. Not everyone is able to do that. What do you do when you find out you have a serious malady and you don't have health care, you don't have anything? Well, you say, well, what about health care? Everybody doesn't have it. And God makes a way for people to have it. Say, God does that?
Yes.
You know, there's two ways of making it in the earth. One of them has a great final plan, and one of them does not. There are two ways of making it in the earth.
Yes.
I said in the earth. I didn't say to return to. I said in the earth. You can make it through the earth with enough money.
Oh, yeah.
Because money will answer for everything in the earth. If you have enough money, you can get drugs that the rest of us can't get when you're sick, and you can pay for a heart transplant that the rest of us can't afford, not because you're dying, just because you think you need one. There's so many things that you can do in the earth if you have enough money. Matter of fact, the only thing that you can't do on earth if you have, well, there's many things you can't do, but one of them is it won't buy joy for you, because if it bought joy, then rich people wouldn't kill themselves. It won't buy hope for you, because if it would buy hope for you, rich people wouldn't kill themselves. It won't stop you from being depressed, because you can afford all the depressing drugs, but it seems like when people stay depressed long enough, they end up killing themselves. So it won't buy all those things. But for most things on earth, if you have enough money, you can actually live okay to a great degree. But money won't buy you an eternal life.
No, it won't.
That it will not do. And then the other side of the coin is there are those of us who don't have Elon Musk's money, and we don't have Trump dollars, and we don't have Gates money and all those things.
Yeah.
And God gives us a great life.
Yes,
we live worry-free. We have better lives than them because we have something they don't have. Unless they have God, they don't have an eternal life.
That's right.
And unless they have God, they don't have a life that is free from worry. I didn't say a life free from concerns. I said a life that's free from worry. And unless they have God, they don't know the joy that I feel. And trust me when I tell you, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on what's going on at the particular time. If you're in a great situation and great things are happening to you, you can be happy. I'm happy because the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, but they weren't in there last year, so that's a fleeting joy. And then if they're in the Super Bowl, they don't win, I won't be happy by Sunday night. But joy is something that comes on the inside that you know, in a way you could almost say, I won't say that joy is the opposite of being depressed, because actually the opposite of being depressed is having hope.
Yes.
And the reason why a person is depressed and down is because you have no hope.
Oh, yes.
You have gone as far as you can go and take yourself. And since you don't have faith in God, who is not limited and is able to do all things, then when you run out of what you're able to do, you seem to be depressed.
Yes.
And the world around is moving, and then comes the diabolical part, because the devil is real and the demons are real. They move in on your depression because they can get you in a mind where you're so melancholy and nobody can bring you out of it. And they help you feel even worse all the time. And the only person who can deliver you from that is God. It is the word of God that will bring you out, because he says, according to his divine power, he's able to do all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And he can work those things out, not only in this life, but in the life to come, because he has all this power. He's able to, in the very beginning, and tonight's Friday night, now my Bible study, so I'll move, and you can stay with me. In the very beginning, God is able to do something. It's in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, and Sean's going to bring that up on the screen. In Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, he tells us, for many of us, and this is something for all of us to remember, he says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, since we are partakers of flesh and blood, then Jesus also likewise took part of the same, or became human, so that he could destroy the power of him that has, you know,
the
power of sin and death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through all our lifetime were subject to bondage. Did she bring it up? Let me see if I can read it from here. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only a human being could die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And that's one of the promises that God makes. He sent his Son to die for me, in the death that all of us should have died because of sin that we were born in. And by him dying for me and being resurrected, he broke sin's power. So what does that mean to me? That means that when you have God, then you can start turning around and getting your life together, because you don't have to worry about the devil. Say, I don't have to worry about the devil. No, you don't. Because through Jesus Christ, you have greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Through Christ, I have the power that dwells in me is greater than the power that Satan has. God has already destroyed his power. All believers need to get to a point where as believers, if we will get to a point where we are able to stop saying, well, you know, the devil has all this power and does all these things, then God can work on the person he really wants to work on. That's me and you. And then God can really start to bring us out, because when the devil does move, since we have Christ, then we're able to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And call and say that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil has to back up, and does back up. Not because he's afraid of me, but because God has all power.
Amen.
The God I have has all power. And if you've never tried that, you need to. And then when you get ready to pray, and he says there's no need of you praying, because he still speaks, you need to have the mindset of knowing that if I pray, my God will hear me.
Yes.
He will hear me when I pray.
Yes.
The Lord will listen to me. There are so many things, he says, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's broken Satan's power. He shed the blood on Calvary. Go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. And Jesus tells them this when he comes. We were talking about last week. And somebody needs this tonight. Don't know who, but somebody needs it. Luke 4 and about 18 or somewhere around in there. Yeah, 4 and 18. Mm-hmm. When Jesus comes, he lets them know. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, God's Spirit is upon me. The power of God is with me. And he makes this to us, and I have one more scripture when I leave here. Don't let me forget it. It's 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And he says to them, because he has anointed me or given me power to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. What's the good news? The good news of being set free from sin, being forgiven for sin, and having eternal life. I came not to call the righteous, he said, but sinners. I want to tell everybody listen to me tonight. You know what God brings you? He brings you the perfect liberty of being in the Holy Spirit. He sets you free. God makes you free from what? From your worry, because God's going to make everything be all right.
Yes.
He sets you free from the influence of the devil, because God is going to make everything be all right. This is why the devil likes to get in, and he likes to get when people are seeking God. You're seeking God because you want to have eternal life. You're seeking God because you need him now.
Yes.
Everybody say, I need him now.
I need him now.
I need God now.
I need God now.
Yes, I do. It's not just, you know, it is the ultimate matter that I need God to have eternal life, but I need him now.
Yes.
There are things I need to work out now. So when God comes, he tells us in Ezekiel, he says, you know what, I'll give you a new heart, give you a new spirit. When God comes, he gives you a new life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. In other words, you become new. You get a fresh start. You can start all over again. You know, when God comes, he puts his spirit in me. He knows that the person who's born in sin does not have the power to live free from sin, even when he knows it is sin. So when God sets you free from sin, which a lot of people are not willing to allow him to do, he gives you his spirit. And then if you will allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, he gives you the power to live free from sin. But you have to go along with it. He gives you that power. I wrote some of them down. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let me finish this one. He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know how it is? When your life is just miserable, it can be a lot of things. It's not just sometimes poor in money, it's poor in spirit. You're discouraged. Things aren't working right. You had dreams, but they're not coming true. You're working, it seems like everything you're doing is falling apart. You're poor in spirit. You need somebody to lift you up. What you need is someone to be on your side. You need an advocate. You need a paraclete. You need someone to see you through. You need someone to part your Red Sea. You need someone to pull down your Jericho walls. You need someone to open doors that you can't open. You need someone to close those doors off where the demons seem to be streaming through. You need someone to close those doors so that no one else can open them. You need some help. You need to be like David. You need to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd is the Lord. I've got what I need because the shepherd who's watching over me, the person who's watching over me, it's God. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not Big Brother. It's not politics. It's not government. It's not anybody. My life is, it's not even my mother or my father. The person I'm depending on to make sure everything is all right is the Lord. And because of that, he never lets me down. When he says, I shall not want, it doesn't mean that every little thing you want, you get. What he's saying is, he never lets me down. Whenever I need him, he shows up. He's promised me he would be there. And so far, he's never broken his promise, and he never will. He says in this, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives. In other words, he sent me to let you know that whatever you're going through, you can be set free.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It might be a physiological thing. Like you could be, you know, you might be going through this dilemma with drugs. Doesn't have to be illegal drugs. You could be on drugs that you prescribed and can't get off of them.
Yes.
And you need the Lord to deliver you. You could be going through it because you're going through with alcohol. You could be going through with a relationship that you just can't seem to break. You could be going through because you just can't seem to get one foot in front of the other before something overthrows you. You could be going through for a lot of reasons. And they're holding you bound. And now you've gotten to the point where you say, why was I ever even born? And why always me? Let me tell you this too, saints, you found out in Job. Don't ever say to God, I should have never been born.
Yes.
Yeah. What you need to say to God is Lord, save me and help me to go along with your purpose. But don't ever say to God, I should have never been born, because it is of God and by God and because of God that we multiply and are born, because God has something for us to do. To say to God, I should have never been born, you're saying that God's plan is not good. It's not God's fault because you are in the situation you're in if you haven't asked God to bring you out. So to sit there and say, well, I should have never been born, well, that wasn't your choice. It was something that God started a long time ago. Now God stands waiting to help you and deliver you. Why will you give up when someone will help you? Why will you stop when help is there? Why don't you allow the Lord? You've given everything else a chance. Give God one. He says in this, and the recovering of sight to the blind and the setting liberty to them that are bruised. Recovering of sight to the blind. Not just blind as far as eyes are concerned. Blindness, and when he talks about this, he's referring to you don't know which way to go. You can't see your way through. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what to do or what to say or how to make it. Well, in God is light and no darkness at all. And James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Why don't you ask God? Ask the Lord. Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? Lord, help me on the way out. And then when God and then when God starts to help you, take it. Let me tell you something. One of the biggest things that I notice among people today, and a lot of people, there are a tremendous amount of people that we witness to and we ask to come to the house of God. And you know what the problem is? Somehow or another, their job schedules always have them work when people are having church and when people are having Bible studies. Can you come on Sunday? No, I can't come on Sunday. Why not? I work. Can you come on Tuesday night? No, work Tuesday night. What days are you off? Oh, I'm off on Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays, all the days when you're not going to be there. When are you off? Oh, I'm off. I work Sunday morning, but I work the other nights, so I can't come during the night, can't come in the morning. Don't you realize you're being blocked? You know what? If you answer, well, I got to work, I got to live. That's right. And you need a job from God so that you can have time for God. You need God to make a way. And for you, oh, I know, I got it. Now there are many jobs. There are plenty of jobs that are going to always work on Sundays and always work nights. You know, you're a doctor, you're a fireman, you're a policeman, you're all these things. Yeah, I got it. And God understands that too. But you know, if you're doing these two or three different little small jobs and they're all penny-ante, you need to come to God so God can set you a schedule that you can glorify God. But you got to make up your mind. When God changes my schedule, I will glorify God. When God sets me free, when he sets me, I'm held captive by my environment. I can't be in service and I can't worship and I can't come to Bible study and this and that. I'm held captive by my environment. It doesn't allow me to be where I need to be so I can be free in God. Then when God sets you free, you need to come to God. And the Lord is a way maker. God will do it. Last one, he says, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. All these people who've been battered through the years. I have a sermon that the Lord was giving me, and I thought tonight was the time for it. But for a lot of us, we need the Lord to set us free from our past. You need the Lord to set you free from your past. Oh, it isn't that you haven't gotten over your past, and it isn't that you haven't moved on. But you're not as free from it as you could be. A lot of people are bound to their past. And one thing I like about, and Isaiah talks about fasting, he says he'll bring you to where you should be if your past hadn't been where it was. He'll give you generations of blessings, which means he'll bring you up to where you need to be. Because many times we have, and it's not an excuse, it is a reason, it is true. We'll say, well, I can't do this because, you know, and in our minds, we might not fill in the blanks and say to everybody, because of what I did, when, or whatever. That's okay. We don't really need to know. But God already knows. But you need to be set free from that. You need a life that you could lead if that wasn't there. You need to be able to go forward in life as if that wasn't there. Oh, there might be some effects that stay forever, but you need to be free. So you can stand up, and that's not like dragging an anchor along with you. Sometimes it's mental. The reason why I behave like I behave because I was abused. And I was abused as a child. So no, I'm like this. You need to go free. And the reason why I behave like I behave because I've been in so many bad relationships. Never mind how you got there. You need to go free. You don't just need to be out of those relationships. You need your mind free from all those, what all those relationships did to you.
Yeah.
You need to, you need your self-worth back.
Yeah.
Like God, you know, you need to see yourself as God sees you. And God sees you as being worth something.
Yeah.
This is the reason why he uses his great power to give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Because to God, you have worth. Never mind if in your relationship you know, you were battered and beaten and everything else. That's because the person you were with didn't value you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason why you let them beat you or do all that is because you didn't value you either.
Yeah.
And God brings you to a point where you should see your value. You should see your worth in God. God has great plans for you.
Yes.
He plans to make your life great. Then he plans to give you eternal life. And not only that, you're not just going to sit in heaven or among the clouds. He has a job for you to do. You're going to rule with him and reign with him. He has all this universe to rule and to maintain. And God is going to use us as part of what, as the people who are going to reign and rule with him to run the universe and to take care of the things that he's doing. We are people who belong to God. We are a peculiar people. We're owned by him.
Yeah.
Last scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. These great and precious promises. He's given us great and precious promises, it says in Peter. He's given us great and precious promises. According, you know, that he can give to us because of his divine power. And I didn't spend a lot of time on that, but let me spend a moment to tell you this. The reason why he's able to give us good and great and precious promises, as he says in Peter, he can make those promises because by his great power, he can keep them.
Yes.
You know how we like to make great promises? Sometimes we make promises we can't keep. Sometimes we make promises we know we're not going to keep.
Yes.
Sometimes we make promises we fully intend to keep, but we're not able to keep.
Right.
But God makes exceedingly great and precious promises because God is able to keep them.
Yes.
Why are they precious? Why are they precious promises? Because we absolutely need them.
Yeah.
They have great worth. I need eternal life. I need to be set free from sin. I need my sins forgiven. I need my mind clear. I need to be delivered from the thoughts and the, you know, I need a good night's sleep that doesn't come because I toss and turn. I need to be free from evil dreams and things that come about by evil spirits that won't cause me to worry. I need to have the liberty that comes in God and comes from no place else.
Yes, yes.
I don't need to live on depression drugs. There's one thing people can talk about. There are a lot of things. I know we're Pentecostal. We believe in being healed, and so does everybody else. Though I don't know why I need to stop saying that, because everybody I know who's in God believes in people being healed. And Pentecostals need to stop claiming we're the only ones that believe that people are healed by the Holy Spirit, because everybody I know, regardless of their denomination or whatever, if they're saved, they believe God heals. I don't know anybody in whom the Holy Spirit dwells who will not ask God to heal you. Does anyone know? I don't know anybody who has the Holy Ghost who, when they're in trouble or things are going through, won't call on God and ask God to save them. So he says in this, six, there are precious promises. I mean, in Peter, I'm getting to 2 Corinthians. Because when we need God, I know what I was getting ready to say. The one thing though I know, though, that God will heal every time. There's one thing I know that God will heal every time. God has the power to heal everything. But one thing I know in my time being Lord, that God will heal every time. You know what that is? Depression.
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 Yes.
When you get God,
yes,
one thing God will bring you out of is depression.
Depression, yes.
Because when the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you the opposite of depression. He gives you hope.
Yes.
And like I said, I already said it once, but I'll say it again because I'm hearing it at this point. The reason why you are depressed, or as they say, in despair. We don't use the word despair so much, but you know, in the Bible, it refers to being in despair. Despair means you have no hope. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. I might not know what's going on, but I'm not hopeless about it. There's a way out. I'm going to be all right. Everybody needs to start saying to themselves, I'm going to be all right. And when you have God, then you can always say, I'm going to be all right. If I will obey God, if I will pray and ask God, if I will do what he told Solomon, you know, if I'll seek his face and turn from my wicked way and call on him, he'll bring me out. And so one thing that I know God will work out, you might have a condition that you're going into heaven with, but depression is not one of them. When you come to God, one thing that God, and the thing that's so ironic, you know, the irony is the people who have all the money, that's the one trouble they all seem to have. You know, Naomi Judd's mother, depressed.
Yeah.
Whitney, depressed.
Yeah.
Michael, depressed. You know, they all seem like the devil says, well, I can't get them any other way because the doctors can fix everything else. But the doctors can't fix your depression. They can give you enough drugs to make you high enough so you won't feel bad. But depression comes back if you're off of them.
Yeah.
And immediately when the Spirit comes in, if you will allow him, that's the one thing God does immediately. But at the time you're saved, I remember when the Lord saved me, the first thing that came to me when the Lord saved me was, I have hope now.
Yes.
I'm not doing this by myself now. I have a wife and kids, and I have a good job, and still I felt like, am I going to always be able to take care of them? And when I got the Lord, you know, I found out I'm not working by myself now.
Yes.
I have hope.
Yes.
Someone is there to help me now.
Yes.
I have God. And it's not someone who can let me down because he's able to do all things and he cares about me.
Yes.
That's the other thing. I have someone who truly loves me and cares about me more than anybody on the earth. And he doesn't want to see anything bad happen to me.
Yes.
If I will follow in his steps, he will keep me and he'll lead me and he'll guide me. Not only so, but he'll take me out of whatever trouble I'm already in. He can deliver me from that and give me a brighter day.
Yes, amen.
Everybody who's in God, you know, I'm not saying that people in God don't worry sometimes, but if you ever start feeling yourself depressed and you start feeling hopeless, you got something helping you, and it ain't God. There's more than you working on that. And you need to come to God and ask God to deliver you. And it starts, well, how do I ask God to deliver me? It's so simple. I'm so glad you asked. It's really easy. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to save me from whatever I'm going through. Save me from this. Save me from that. You can blame them if you want to. But you just need to say, Lord, save my whole life. Just save me. Save all of me. Come in. Come in, Lord. Come into all of me and save me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Save everything I touch. Save me in my environment. Save me.
Yes.
You don't even have to be that specific. When you ask him to save you, he knows what all to save you from.
Yes.
And then you have hope, and depression goes out the window. And the Lord will set you free, and you won't, you know, you don't have all this, you know, all these mental things that go, you know, the mental things that go on. They need God.
Yes.
And I'm not laughing at them, and I have empathy for them and for the families. And all them, and I'm not being funny, and I'm not doing all that. I'm just saying, I know someone who can fix that.
Yes.
God can. If you will allow him to. Now, here's the way people, well, why do you fix it in everybody? Because they don't let it.
Yes, yes.
Because they don't allow him. Because they don't let it. If you will allow the Lord will work that out. And it's different from saying, well, why does the Lord heal all cancer? Well, you know, I can die with cancer and go to heaven.
Yes.
But I can't die in unbelief and go to heaven.
Right.
That I cannot do.
That's right.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to him must first of all believe that he is.
Yes.
There are a lot of things that I can die with. I can die with all kinds of maladies. I can die with COVID and go to heaven. Not a problem. But I can't die in depression.
No. Yes.
Because then I have failed to allow the Lord to bring me out. It shows my depression shows a lack of trust in God.
Yes.
It shows that I don't have a faith in God. Because when you believe in God, then when you know that God lives, then you have no reason to be depressed.
Right.
Times are hard, but you call on God.
Yes.
You're really, really sick, but you call on God.
Yes.
No matter what you're going through, you call on God. And you have this mind that if the sickness doesn't go away, and if I die, I'll go to heaven and I'll be all right.
Yes,
you do. I want to live because God has given me a mind to live. My life is an example unto people on earth that God is a good God. He needs me to live in that respect so that I can tell other people of his glory. But if I should die, as the little kids say, before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. So I don't have that. So the one thing I don't have is I might have a malady. I might have a sickness. Sometimes even a pain. I was going through sciatica for the last couple of weeks. But the Lord touched it. Now I feel good tonight. But whatever I'm going through. But what I cannot have and have God is depression.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost comes and says to me, you will be all right. Why do I keep saying I'm not going to be? And the Holy Ghost says you belong to God. And the Lord will watch over you. You would 2 Corinthians 6 and what, 17? 2 Corinthians 6 and 17? And he says, wherefore come out from among them. Wherefore come out from among unbelievers. And be ye separate. Separate yourselves, saith the Lord, from them, says the Lord. And don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He says, stop, come out, you know, this is the thing that we want to do. We want the Lord, but we don't want to stop being where the Lord is not. You don't want to come out from where the Lord is not. You have something that's wearing you out, and the Lord could deliver you, but you don't want to put down what's killing you.
Yes.
You don't want to stop doing what's destroying you. And the only time God asks you to give up anything is because it is a detriment.
Yes.
It's not just because God doesn't like yellow. It's because in this particular case, whatever it is, it's something that's destroying you. And everything that if you want to be logical about it, read the Bible and don't be saved. Just read it from a logical standpoint of view. And everything that God says that you must not do, that the Spirit says you must not do, if you will be honest and chase them down and look at them at length, you will see they destroy one way or another. They're destructive one way or another. They don't give life. They don't give hope, and they don't give joy. They destroy you physically. They destroy you mentally. They destroy you socially. And they certainly destroy you spiritually. So he says, come out from among all those things, or let those things go.
Yes.
You know, desire this new life that God gives.
Yes.
And all that he brings in it. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things have become new.
Yes.
In other words, let them go.
Yes.
You know, let the troubled relationship go. If it can't be fixed, let it go. Know when to let it go and say, you know, that's done.
Yes.
That's over. And ask God, say, well, I don't know how I'm going to live without him. Live for God.
Yes.
And God will give you a new relationship. He says, no man who has ever taken me, made me first in their life. He says they'll have houses and lands and sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers. Stop having this attitude. If you come to God, you'll be all by yourself. You're by yourself now.
Yes.
That's why you're going through. You got friends all around you, but you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And you're in a relationship, but you're by yourself. And you got a good career, but you're by yourself. You're missing what you need. There's a longing that you have, and that longing is for God.
Amen. Yes.
It is a place that only he can fill, because he created you.
Yes.
He says in 7, having therefore these promises, because these, you know, remember we read back in the old, when we first started out, we said he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. That was in the first, in the next verse we read in Peter. If you're able to look back at it, see if I can do it real quick, and I'll tell you what it says. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's in 1 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter what?
1 and 4.
1 and 4. Okay, I just didn't go down far enough. 1 and 4, she says.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 1 and 4. As soon as I'm able to bring it up. And that will be it for tonight. Okay. Has called us the glory and virtue, whereby are given to us by the divine power. This is verse 4, so last one for the night. Are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises. The divine nature referring to his great power which he has through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what causes us to be all right. He says that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, he says in this, hold on a minute, let me pull it up again. Okay. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. I want to get down to this last part. To escape the world's corruption by human desires, have escaped the world through lust. Tell you what that says. If I came to church tonight and the preacher preached and told me I need to be saved and I need Jesus, and I make up my mind, you know what, he's telling the truth, I do need Jesus. Like I'm saying to you out there, if you don't have Jesus, you need Jesus. Tonight you need him. You need him to save you. You need him to forgive you of all your sins, and that way your conscience is clear. And you need him also to break sin's power so you can go forward without sin beating you into the ground and driving you like you're a slave. You need the Lord to save you. You need Jesus because of his powerful resurrection. He's able to give you new life. Some things are beyond repair. Our old selves in sin are beyond repair. We need to be renewed. We need to have a new life. And what he says is like, what happens to us when we don't have Jesus? The world corrupts us. We are corrupted by the world because of what we want instead of Jesus. It is the things that we see that we want when we don't have him. In other words, we're corrupted by those things, and they keep us from coming to Jesus. So he says in 1 Peter and Corinthians, he says, since we have these promises, 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of God. In other words, take a good look at yourself and allow the Lord to work things out. And stop, as the Lord moves you forward, go forward with God. Cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. In other words, stop being right. When it says flesh and spirit, not just your spirit, stop allowing other unclean spirits and different things to be in your life. Cleanse yourself of all the things in your mind, of your flesh, of your soul, and all those. And then stop being in places where the devil can influence you and where evil spirits speak to you. Mm-hmm. One thing about a depressed mind, when God can't speak to you, evil spirits do. Yeah, and it's right. One of those things, too, where some people, you know, you don't halfway want to believe in God and this and that and the other, but you want to sit around and say, well, I believe in demons. Well, you know, you should, because they're real. And you need God to ward them off. And one thing that they do, they love to play games with depressed people. And people don't like to do that. We want to say, well, you need to be more sensitive to mental health. I am sensitive to mental health. Yeah. Matter of fact, my heart goes out to anybody who has any mental deficiency, whether it be anything from autism to PTSD or whatever it is. But I know that the answer to the PTSD and all those things and all those, I know one thing, when you get in God and the Word of God has power. Yes. Listen to me. The Word of God has power. The Holy Spirit has power. And when you come to God, one of the things he's able to fix is your mind.
Yes. Right.
That he absolutely can do.
Yes.
If you're wondering why you're in the state you're in, just look at your environment and see what things you do with your mind. You become like the TV shows you watch, and I watch TV, so I'm not saying TV's the devil. Mm-hmm. No, TV's not the devil. Matter of fact, the internet's not the devil either. It's up to you how you use it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what friends are around you, what things you do, you in your environment, all those things feed into your mind. Well, God does the same thing.
Yes.
When you read the Word of God, when you're among the people of God, and when you are meditating on God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, he washes you.
Yes.
And he cleanses you. And he purges out all the evil things and thoughts that come to your mind. And comfort comes. Because the Word of God speaks it to you and says to you, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord is your shepherd. And the Holy Ghost verifies and he confirms with your spirit that this is true. And you sense peace.
Yes.
This is when true peace comes. And it's not because you've taken a drug or because of medicine. Because it comes because God says one thing. It will be all right.
Yes.
you will be all right. He says to you, when he comes, you no longer need to fear. How many people out here, you go to bed, you fear. Everything around you is fear. Mm-hmm. Everybody's buying guns. Mm-hmm. Guns won't stop you from being afraid.
No.
Matter of fact, you become more paranoid because you've got one. You always expecting to use it. They won't stop you from being afraid. Drugs won't stop you from being afraid. The only person that can come and calm your fears is God. You can hire you a squad of bodyguards, put up chain link fences around your house, put electricity to it, do whatever you want. All you do is lock yourself in with your fear. But if you want to go free, then you need someone who can give you, who can calm your fears and who has power over everything. You need someone who has power over everything.
Yes, yes.
Who can work things out for you. God's not afraid of atomic bombs. God created atoms. God's not afraid of anybody's army. God's not afraid of anybody's political party. God's not afraid of anything. God has all power.
Yes.
You need someone on your side who has all power.
All power. Yes.
Perfect love, which comes from God, casteth out
fear.
Right. Perfect love, which, and the implication is perfect love only comes from God, cast out all fear. When you find out how much God loves you and how God keeps you and how God sustains you, then, you know, cast out all fear. Because I will say this tonight as everybody's standing. God doesn't have to let your enemies come in on you to destroy you or to kill you. He simply has to stop keeping your heart beating.
Yes.
He doesn't have to, you know, like as terrible as it is with the evil people in the, you know, shooting people and doing all these things. People elect the governments they deserve. They have the society that they deserve, and the evil that's in society is because of evil people. They have lost God's morals, thou shalt not kill, and it's no longer in their mindset anymore. So everybody's buying guns. And so instead of saying thou shalt not kill, they're saying if you try to kill me, I'm going to try to kill you. That's what that's really all about. I'm going to kill you before you kill me. They have lost the sense of saying that I'm not supposed to kill and you're not either. They don't have that anymore. So now they have it. So what do you need to have? Then the only way you're going to feel safe and the only way you're going to be free in these days and feel safe is you're going to have God. Because you don't have to be, you know, it used to be you had to be in the wrong part of town and you had to be in the wrong club. You had to be with the wrong people. You had to be doing all these wrong things for things to happen to you. Today, you can be anywhere. You can be in school. You can be on the subway. You can be on a bus. You can be in church. You can be in church.
Yeah.
You know, and still evil people can come in.
Yeah.
You need the Lord.
Yeah.
We need the Lord. We need the Lord to watch over us while we're here. Well, we need to do some smart things. We're not stupid because God also gives you wisdom on how to keep yourself. But we don't live in fear.
No.
Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me pray tonight. I want to pray for Bishop Edwards. She's kind of sick, and I want to pray the Lord to give her a touch. And I want to pray for Mother Ware. I talked to Mrs. Stedmeyer today. I want to pray for her tonight. She's going through a little something. Nothing serious.
Yeah.
But I want to pray the Lord to touch her. I always want to pray for Ella Tienzler Rogers, that the Lord will raise her up. My hope is that God will give her a miracle. And for all those who are sick in the Elder Triani and for Elder Smith and for all of us who are getting up in age to some degree, we need the Lord. We need the Lord just keep us, Elder Reed and all of us, myself. I want to pray for Minister Smith because she has, from time to time, she has things going. They can't figure out what's going on there. Nothing serious, I hope. But I want to pray the Lord just stop all that.
Yeah,
I want to pray for Timaeus Cadogan. The Lord will give him rhythm and the Lord will anoint him and fill him with the Holy Spirit even more. He has the Holy Ghost. I'm praying he'll grow even more. And I want to pray for the people of God and for the churches of God, for all of New Covenant, for all of Promise, for Ella Jenkins. We really want to pray for her and her family. And Ella Jenkins needs a, if we will ever see Ella Jenkins preach again, she needs a miracle. If we will ever hear her preach again, she needs a miracle. So I'm praying, and God is a miracle worker. We want to pray for all the churches in the jurisdiction and all over, all the saints wherever they are. I pray the Lord just bless them real good. And the Lord will add to our number. And I pray tonight, if you're not saved tonight, you need to be. And if you're, I think I'm kind of saved, then you're not.
Yes.
Saved people know they're saved. Yes. If you don't have the Lord dwelling in you tonight, you need him. And it's easy to have him. Just ask him, come in, Jesus.
Come in, Jesus.
That's all you have to do. Say, Lord, come in.
Lord, come
and
in.
Save me. Lord, come in.
Yes.
and save me. You don't have to be, you know every scripture there is or everything. You just have to believe. Lord, come in and save me. And then give him the other part of it. Say, Lord, I'll serve you. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me and make me yours. And the Lord will save you tonight. So I'm asking everyone tonight, if you're not sure that if when you lay down tonight, if you should die, you'll wake up in heaven tomorrow, then you need to ask God to save you. Yes. And you can be sure. It's easy to do.
Yes.
And stay away from anybody who gives you a whole lot of rules and a whole lot of things you got to do and a whole lot of circumstances, a whole lot of ordinances and all that. That didn't come from God.
Yes.
He said all that call upon him, he would save it. And all those that call upon his name, he would save.
Yes.
So tonight, I want the Lord to save everybody who needs to be saved. He says, thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the God the Father that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. So I don't think I need to add any more rules to what if he's willing to do it that easily, then it sure works for me. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, stretch forth thy hand tonight with healing power. And of all those who have any infirmity, any disease, Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch them tonight and make them whole. Save them and heal them, O God. Lord, their sins be forgiven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, save them, especially those, Lord, who go through troubled minds and difficulties in the mind. Say to the Lord, rebuke you, loose them. In the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I command every demon that torments to flee in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray on tonight, Lord, you touch all of us. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And Lord, make us all way whole and keep us in health and safety, O God. And Lord, bind the devil, all of his agents, O God, who would come against us to do evil. Lord, I pray, Lord, keep us. For Lord, you are our shepherd, O God. Lord, and though we might travel through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, we won't fear because you are with us. Lord, you're guiding and you're keeping us and you're sustaining us and you're watching over us, O Lord. Lord, and we thank you so much and we give you glory. Lord, bless us tonight, Lord, and keep us and add to our number. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see Elder Russell and Sister Russell are back from, they might not be glad to be back, but we're glad you're back.